Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call of Natural Capsules Limited, hosted by TIL Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mehra.
Thank you, Nita. Welcome, everyone, and good evening. Thank you for joining this Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call of Natural Capsules Limited. Results and investor updates are available on the stock exchanges. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please feel free to write to us, and we'll be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of the quarter, we have with us today Mr. Sunil Mundra, Managing Director, and Mr. Raj Kishore Prasad, Chief Financial Officer. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the quarter from Mr. Mundra, which will be followed by the Q&A. I would like to remind you all that everything said in this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and risks that the company faces. These uncertainties and risks have been included, but are not limited to what we've mentioned in our annual reports. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Mundra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Abhishek. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Natural Capsules Limited, I extend a warm welcome to all participants joining us today for our earnings call to discuss the financial results for the fourth quarter and the full financial year ended 31st March 2026. I'll begin with our financial performance covering the quarter and then the full year. For Q4 FY26, we reported consolidated revenue from operations of rupees 58.45 crores, reflecting growth of 55% on a quarter-on-quarter basis and 30% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA for the quarter recovered to rupees 1.33 crores, an improvement of 157% over Q3 FY26, with the EBITDA margins at 2.28%. This represents a sequential improvement of about 844 basis points, though margins remain 747 basis points below the Q4 FY25 level. The loss after tax for the quarter stood at rupees 4.98 crores, reflecting depreciation of rupees 4.28 crores and the finance cost of rupees 2.89 crores. I will address the trajectory of these charges in the context of our full year performance. Now, for the full financial year FY26, consolidated revenue from our operations grew 11% year-on-year, rupees 187.20 crores from rupees 169.21 crores in FY25. This top-line growth is encouraging in the context of the operational disruptions we experienced during the year. However, I must be candid with you regarding the profitability outcome for FY26. EBITDA for the full year was a loss of rupees 1.56 crore at a margin of negative 0.83%. compared to rupees 17.52 crores and a margin of 10.35% in FY25. This represents a deterioration of 1,119 basis points and is a result of two distinct factors. First, the operational disruption in our capsule business caused by the temporary shutdown of our Puducherry plant. And second, the pre-commercial cost burden of our API manufacturing subsidiary, Natural Biogenics Private Limited, which has been incurring manufacturing costs and fixed overheads ahead of meaningful revenue. Finance costs for the year were rupees 10.95 crores, up from rupees 6.31 crore in FY25, reflecting the term debt drawn to fund from the Tumkur API facility. Depreciation was rupees 17.14 crores, higher than FY25's 9.12 crores, as the API facility assets entered into the depreciation cycle. Together, these charges resulted in a profit before tax loss of rupees 27.92 crores and a net loss of rupees 24.66 crores for the full year. I acknowledge the significance of these figures and wish to address directly how we intend to reverse this trajectory. On the balance sheet, total equity stood at rupees 234.72 crores. Operating cash flow for the year was a positive rupees 10.92 crores, which reflects the underlying cash generation capacity of the capsules business and provides us with a reasonable working capital base to operate from. Let me now turn to the operational account for the year, beginning with the capsules business and then addressing the API segment. Q4 FY26 was operationally the strongest quarter of the year for our capsule business. As we had guided on the Q3 FY26 call, the deferred dispatches that accumulated during the Puducherry plant shutdown were cleared in Q4 FY26. Approximately rupees 6 crore of revenue in the quarter reflect those deferred sales. Importantly, because the associated manufacturing costs were absorbed in Q3 FY26, these dispatches carried a higher net realization, contributing positively to the quarterly margin recovery. On capacity, we are pleased to confirm that the new HPMC line commissioned in FY26, which increased our installed capacity from 19.5 billion capsules per annum to 20.25 billion capsules per annum, is fully ready for 00 capsule production. Revenue from this line is expected to commence in the second half of FY27. Subject to customer qualification and approval in the U.S. market. We are actively progressing those approvals. For FY27, the capsules business enters the year with two clear objectives. First, to optimize utilization across both our Bangalore and Puducherry facilities. And the second, to improve the product mix progressively towards regulated market customers and value-added variants. The contribution of the new HPMC line, once approved, will support both revenue and margin improvement. I am pleased to report that Q4 FY26 marked the commencement of commercial API sales at our Tumkur facility, operated through our subsidiary Natural Biogenics Private Limited. This has been a long journey, and reaching commercial production is a genuine milestone for the team. During the quarter, Natural Biogenics also executed definitive framework and contract manufacturing agreement with Fermbox Bio Private Limited. Under this arrangement, Fermbox Bio will provide advanced fermentation technology and equipment at our Tumkur facility, while Natural Biogenics undertakes licensed manufacturing, quality assurance, and regulatory compliance. We expect this collaboration to improve utilization of our fermentation block and create an incremental revenue stream for us. The products we are producing commercially at present carry margins that are lower than what we ultimately expect from this business. The reason is that the higher value customer segment and certain export geographies require regulatory approvals that are still in the process. We are working with the relevant regulatory authorities and customers to obtain those approvals. And once secured, we believe the profitability profile of the API segment will improve materially. We enter FY27 with more operational clarity. The Puducherry disruption is behind us. Commercial API sales have begun. The HPMC line is ready for qualification. The Fermbox collaboration has been formalized. All the building blocks are in place. Our task now is to execute with discipline. We are conscious of the pressure on our balance sheet and the expectation of our shareholders after a difficult year. Restoring profitability at the consol level is our primary financial target for FY27. Thank you. We are now ready to take your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Anuj Mehra from Artha Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Sir, my question is at the strategic execution level. You are simultaneously trying to grow the HPMC capsules in regulated markets, parallelly scale gelatin capsules business and ramp up the API commercial scales, and qualify the fermentation block and partner with Foambox Bio on a new project. Now, these are, you know, close to 5 concurrent strategic priorities for a company at a near zero cash balance and a loss-making consolidated P&L. So how are you actually trying to prioritize management bandwidth and working capital across all of these initiatives at once?
As far as management bandwidth is concerned, we have dedicated teams working for all these divisions. Like for gelatin capsules and HPMC capsules, we have dedicated teams operating. There are about totally 18 members in our marketing team across world who are working on that. As on date, we have order book, which is having a backlog of almost 36 days of all types of capsules. On HPMC capsules, there is a definitely we are working aggressively to get approvals in US market, working with a few customers to whom we have sent the samples. And once those are approved, HPMC business should start. Having said that, there is definitely a slow situation in U.S. market, and we are working to overcome that by means of having aggressive marketing calls. On gelatin side, the domestic team is very well positioned. Our approach is to reduce the sales to the customers whose our net margins are less and concentrate on customers where the margins are better. Now, coming to API sales, API for regulatory approvals, the facility, it's a process. So once the DMF-related CTD work starts, that is the technical dossier work, it takes time, and then we start the filing process, and then the updation of the DMF has to happen. Post that, the concerned regulatory authorities will come and trigger the audit, and they will come and audit the facility. So it's a process. So there is a dedicated team working there, and this process will go on. Regarding Foambox, the contract is concerned, as very clearly I said in my opening remarks, all the technology and operational supervision will be in control of Foambox. Only operational ground operations will be under our control. So we have nothing to worry there because ultimately the batches and all the production will be under their control. I think from the operational point of view, we are more or less secure. Now, on the other front, which you mentioned about the liquidity situation, yes, this is an area where we are definitely need to work upon because of the continuing pressure on the balance sheet and the liquidity position because of the API business. We are looking at various options to do fundraise.
Okay, so are you planning to dilute further equity or are you planning to raise debt? If you can share some kind of thoughts with us.
So there are various options. We have also made an application under government's RDA scheme to BIREC. And I am hopeful that we might get some funding as being a deep tech company here in pharma API line. We expect to contribute equal amount from our side, which should be in form of equity. We might do a kind of a preferential allotment where the promoters could also participate and we could also do a right issue. So at this point of time, the promoter group doesn't want to dilute much on the overall holding.
Got it, sir. So my second question is on the scale-up of capsules business. The HPMC line is ready and revenue is expected from the second half of FY27, as you just mentioned, subject to the US client approval. Now, this implies that even if everything goes to plan, HPMC revenue contribution will only accrue for 2 quarters, that is half a year, the second half of the year. So can you tell us what revenue contribution you are assuming for the HPMC line for FY27 in your base case and what happens to the profitability of the capsule business if that approval is delayed by another quarter or two, just in case?
Yeah, so looking into the uncertainty of U.S. market where the business of Nutra segment has completely slowed down, as you are all aware that last year, post the tariffs imposed by the U.S. government, all the business has slowed down, and especially our Nutra business, which is a more of a wellness business, where the impact was much more than the other businesses. So at this point of time, demand is very slow in US, and we anticipate that this should improve in about 3 to 6 months down the line. During this current year, FY27, we have therefore anticipated a very low expectation from the revenue from HPMC. We have anticipated last year we did a revenue of about 8 crore from one line. So we, and there the US exports were roughly around 3 crores out of that. Now this year, keeping that in mind, but this is a new size of 00 which we have added now, and our exposed to other markets like Brazil, Mexico have improved. We are now anticipating a revenue of about 20 crores from HPMC line.
Got it.
I hope I've answered.
Got it, sir. Also, sir, the steroidal API market has seen excess Chinese capacity, which has depressed the price over the last 2 years. In the Q4 FY25 call, you acknowledged that the API segment faced industry-wide pressure on product realization due to significant excess capacities in China. Has that situation improved, worsened, or remained the same in FY26? And at current Chinese export prices for steroidal APIs, are your API products like price competitive on a full cost basis?
So Chinese capacities are, I would say, to large extent fungible, because they keep changing the products within the steroidal portfolio. So many of the products, when they become uneconomical, they discontinue some of the companies there. So, but having said that, there are large players, about 5 to 6 large players in steroidal API segment. The prices which they sell, at which they sell to the Indian market, you'll be surprised that they are much, much lower than what they sell in China, and to large extent to rest of the world. And Indian prices are very, very significantly lower, I would say, and may not even cover their costs. I have done deep analysis of these pricing there in China. And even the Chinese manufacturers are a little under pressure because of this. So they are trying to make their strategies to improve the prices, but somehow there is also overcapacity there across all the API segments. So over a period of time, they take the prices up, they come down because of the sales from the other smaller players. So having said that, now the API prices in Indian market, India is a highly price-sensitive market. As you know, government's focus is on generic medicine, low-cost production, and the price control. So most of the manufacturers are looking at cheaper APIs, and therefore there is a, especially the segment which is catering to these generic markets, looks for cheaper APIs. So there, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, that the margin for these the generic API customers is very, very low. It is in single-digit low numbers, EBITDA margin, I would say. And whereas our attempt is to improve ourselves or take ourselves up to a higher ladder and reach the semi-regulated and regulated customers within India. I would want to say go to the customers who are exporting to semi-regulated markets, and then go to the customers who are exporting to US, Europe. So there, probably these margins are much, much better, and that is our growth strategy to survive.
Got it, sir. But considering, you know, these products are also in the PLI scheme, so will you be approaching the government for, you know, an import duty to be applied just to get the price in parity?
Yes, I think you are quite right. Recently, government has granted a minimum import price they have imposed in case of 4 products, which are manufactured by 2 companies which are selected under PLI scheme. So here the government's condition is that we should produce those products with a 90% domestic value addition. Like, we have got 3 products, prednisolone, dexamethasone, and betamethasone. So I am happy to inform the members who are present here that we have been successful in doing prednisolone and dexamethasone at a kilo level now, which are, if scaled up, will be maybe around 10% lesser than the Chinese cost. So we are now hoping, we have given the documentary evidence to the government for the 3 batches that have been produced, and we expect them to visit in about 3 to 4 months. The chartered engineer visit is over, and their technical team will come and visit the plant to confirm that we have started commercial scale production. So once the commercial scale production of one or two products start, then we hope to get the minimum import price imposition by government, and that would definitely be a big boost for us. And like in case of two companies, I would name them. Kinwan was one company which has produced the potassium clavulanate and clavulanic acid. And in case of Aurobindo Pharma, they got these for Penji 6-APA and 7-ACA. And the price selling at the time was $18 per kg of 6-Penji. Now, government has imposed $36 per kg. So government is being realistic, goes out of the way now to support the industry, especially for those whom the PLI scheme was given. So we are quite positive that if we are able to demonstrate in the next 3 to 4 months, but we have not taken any of those in our revenue projections. I am hopeful that parallel teams are working to demonstrate these prednisolone and dexamethasone 2 products. Betamethasone is slightly difficult, and we have kept the target of Q4 in the current year. These we are keeping a target of Q2 and Q3 for commercial scale production and getting the PLI cover from the government, rather minimum import price cover from the government.
Got it. Also, sir, you know, in Q1 FY26, you had guided for the API facility to reach cash break-even by the end of Q4 FY26. But then we saw commercial sales only commenced in Q4 FY26. So there have been multiple instances, you know, starting FY24 till FY26, where timelines on earnings calls were not met. So how do you suggest we take the current guidance? Have you tapered down the current guidance? Is it aggressive according to you? How should we be looking at the guidance that you're giving right now?
The current guidance has been... We have given a conservative guidance, one. Secondly, we have not considered major revenue, any revenue from these PLI-based products where last year we slipped up. Thirdly, the guidance on the API front, especially, has been given based on my Q4 numbers. Q4, what we achieved, about 9 crores of revenue from API. Based on that and a gradual increase from there, we have assumed the numbers. So in the current year, we have giving a guidance of from gelatin capsules about 170 crores, HPMC about 20 crores, API business in domestic market about 70 crores, and from firm box contract about 14 crores. So there we have not considered any of these kind of PLI-based benefit and those product sales. The last year reason for slip-up are very clear, as I mentioned already, and let me capture them again. There was a delay in the PLI products where we could not achieve the yield. There was a very big gap in the commercial level, and despite the PLI incentive, we could not have done the break-even. So therefore, we were pushing around for alternative route of synthesis, and we were also trying for some sort of a technology support from Chinese companies, which unfortunately did not come though they promised. Ultimately, our internal teams only have been successful in achieving the completion of 2 products at kilo level now. Now, the other major reason for not achieving the guidance for API business was the fluctuations in these intermediate prices from China was so high. Actually, we decided that if we are not able to get this PLI revenue, we'll also start importing intermediates from China and do the 2-stage or 3-stage derivative manufacturing and sell them in India. But during last year in Q1, we took the decision. Q2, Q3, there were huge disruptions in prices. But still, we started importing in Q3. And Q3 end and Q4 from December of last year till March, we were able to start manufacturing from intermediates, and therefore the revenue came only in the last 4 months. So I would think that these two were the major reasons in our API business. As far as capsule business is concerned, I think we had given a guidance of about 196 crore, which had included 25 crores of revenue from HPMC and 171 crores from gelatin. So in the current year, we did achieve about 163 crore from, in last year we achieved 163 crore from gelatin, which is almost achieved 170 crore because 6 crore of loss due to shutdown in Pondicherry plant. Whereas HPMC, we could not achieve the targeted revenue of 25 crore and we achieved only around 8 crore. That was mainly due to stoppage of exports to US. So I think in the current year, our guidelines are pretty much conservative and we hope to achieve those numbers.
So, sir, with the guidance that you gave in terms of, you know, especially the API segment, roughly, I think, 80-85 crores worth of top line that you are clearly looking at conservatively, can you further elaborate in terms of the operational break-even that you would be achieving? I just need to understand this so that, you know, our assumptions can be correct if, you know, we are looking at the worst behind us now, or we can still look at, you know, negative numbers in the coming quarters.
As far as API guidelines concerned, in the next year, with what I've told, API from domestic sale is about roughly 70 crore. There we are expecting margin of about 2-3% at the, with say, gross level. I would say lower single digit numbers on the gross raw material level. At EBITDA level, it could be still be in a negative side. But we are, as we grow further and improve our customer base, this should be in a lower single digit EBITDA also. Now, as far as Firmbox contract business is concerned, we have considered about 20% EBITDA based on the cost sheet agreed with them and the amount of work committed by them. So but I would say the console level in the current year also, we might face challenges and probably we would end up with a very low consolidated net margin.
Got it, sir.
Yeah.
That will be all from my end. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Yashvi Gandhi from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yeah, please.
Yeah. In the past calls, you've mentioned the P investor in natural biogenics has a clawback clause linked to the FY27 target, and that they have informally agreed to extend it by a year. What is the current formal status of that clawback clause? Has a written extension been agreed, and what are the financial consequences to the promoters if the FY27 targets are not met?
No, the clawback clause is referring to FY29 figures, and that also is this is already mentioned in our shareholders agreement, and this is for FY29. So as far as it is concerned, as at this point of time, there is no discussion on that.
Okay. And on the consolidated basis, can you please help us break down how we're looking at FY27 from the revenue and profitability standpoint? A detailed breakdown would be helpful, like in terms of capsules, if you could give a breakdown between gelatin and HPMC, and if you could also throw some light on the scale-up of API.
Yeah, I think I have already given that. Once again, for your benefit, I'll repeat that. Our revenue forecast for sales from gelatin capsule is about 170 crores. From HPMC capsule, about 20 crores. From API, mainly which is domestic API, about 70 crores. Our forecast from firm box production, CMO contract, about 14 crores. So we are talking about a consolidated level 274.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Madhu Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, so what kind of margins do we expect from the capsule division for FY27 with HPMC scale-up?
From HPMC, we have assumed 18% as our EBITDA margin. And from gelatin, around 13%, which is what we expect it to improve better now, since there is a devaluation of rupee, the dollar, rupee, and the recoveries are better we can expect better EBITDA margin, but we have assumed similar number as of our Q4 number.
Got it. Sir, did we receive any PLI during FY26, and what is the PLI expectation for FY27?
No, we did not receive anything in FY26. We do hope to get something, but in forecast we have not included in anything in it. As I already mentioned that we might be able to present to government our conclusive evidence of getting two products on commercial scale level maybe in Q3 or so and Q4, respectively one after the other. And there could be some revenue from PLI. But at this point of time, since there is uncertainty of timing and all that, we have desisted from giving a forecast.
Sir, so what I understood was we have already achieved kilo level batches for dexamethasone and the and you mentioned like right now this they will commercialize in Q3 or Q4 of FY27.
Yes.
If you would help us understand what is this arrangement with Foambox for what kind of products, and do we expect some kind of capability development for our fermentation in-house with this? If you could help us understand how does this fit strategically for our business and the fermentation API business going forward?
The Foambox business is a win-win situation for NBPL and NCL. Because Foambox, what the contract is of two basic principles, that they will be utilizing our spare fermentation capacity. Now, the question is, why did fermentation capacity become spare? Is because in the prednisolone and dexamethasone, originally we had put up the capacity with the idea that we would require all the capacity for which we have applied for. Later, last year, Government of India, Department of Pharmaceutical gave a clarification that you need not produce what is applied capacity. You have to produce only sanctioned capacity. So that freed up almost, I would say, in dexamethasone, betamethasone, our committed capacity was 27, allotted was 8. So 19 metric tons of finished API, and added to that, our second stage fermentation, now we have been successful in using enzymatic route, where the need for fermentation at large scale has been reduced. Therefore, at least about 40% of our capacity becomes spare in fermentation. So therefore, this agreement with the Foambox, whereby Foambox will, because the Foambox products are different. They have yeast-based, enzyme-based, and other kind of products where the downstream processing equipment are totally different. So the agreement says that Foambox will be investing a close to amount of 60 crores in various such equipment, which will be placed on our site, will be owned by them on their books. And MBPL is also free to use those products in case they choose to by giving them the whatever the charges applicable. So as you mentioned that whether it will improve our capabilities, yes. And we are also free to bring in our CMO contracts of similar products. Of course, there is a no-compete clause with the Foambox. We can't bring such products. Whatever is to be done with their consent, we have to do it. But definitely, it will improve our total capabilities and repertoire of this knowledge about the fermentation techniques.
So they the personal manufacturing these fermented products, because if I'm looking at the Foambox website, so these products will be manufactured by natural capsules, personal or employees, or these will be manufactured by Foambox's employees only?
No, Foambox will provide total supervision. Means all these decision-making regarding operational parameters will be under their control. Their people will be there to take the decision. Our people will be only operating the equipment. And because the products belong to them, they are responsible for the success of the batch. It will be totally under their control.
Got it. And sir, how big can this contract become, maybe over the next 2 to 3 years, can this become a 50 crore revenue contract for natural capsules?
Yes, it can. Because right now we are talking of only part of the year, the current year forecast, and that too with one product which they have for confirmed order from Government of India. So that product alone, we have given anticipation of a revenue forecast of 14 crore. They have multiple products from Europe, US, and there the revenue build-up and the profit share will be better. And therefore, we anticipate that this revenue could be much larger.
Got it. Sir, just a final question from mine, sir. On the API business, how should we see this business over the next 2 to 3 years down the line? Because the main product that we were expected to manufacture, the realizations have gone down and it is not viable. Our capacity scale-up issues have been there. And we have moved towards contract manufacturing. So how should I look, sir? What is your vision for this segment for the company maybe over the next 2 to 3 years down the line?
I would say that future is bright. In 2 to 3 years down the line, both our API as well as the Fermbox CMO contract will do well. In 2 to 3 years, maybe as we start getting the accreditations like WHO GMP in the current year, EU GMP and US FDA in coming years, our business to these regulated markets should improve, and a significant portion of the revenue should come from these kind of businesses, which will improve our EBITDA margin. In addition to our portfolio of products in steroidal API field, Fermbox is going to be a completely incremental business, which should also contribute significantly.
And sir, has there been any impact of anti-involution drive on the steroidal APIs coming out of China? Because you mentioned that the pricing in Indian market is lower than what it is in Chinese market, and that we are only 10% lower than the Chinese. So has that affected us or the competitors from China?
Yes, it is affecting us, because that is why we could not launch the products about 6 months back. We could have done that had the prices been not so competitive. So it was like taking a decision where we could have lost much more. So we chose not to launch those products at that point of time and still started working further and got to a situation where this gap is now around 10%. So we are confident that this 10% could be covered by the PLI incentive, which is our assumption now. Now, as I also mentioned, these prices in India are lowest across the world, and Chinese have a kind of a specific or a special kind of a pricing strategy for Indian market, because I believe, as far as my studies says, that steroidal API forms by volume 40% of the total Chinese production, whereas India population is hardly about 16% of the world population. So balance, I presume, is going out of India in form of derivatives, either in form of API or in form of finished formulations.
Sir, my question was, yes, sir. So partly, and sir, the export rebate removal, the export rebate, whatever the Chinese were getting, has that affected this particular API segment or not?
Yes, so export rebate has been reduced, I believe, not completely removed. There is a reduction in the rebate, and but to that extent, government has also given them the benefit of, they have also depreciated their local currency, yuan. So to that extent, the Chinese are also at a disadvantage at the moment. But having said that, they are also not too happy to sell it at such low prices to India. But I think they are under pressure to sell this because of overcapacity in Chinese market. So there is no regulated way of controlling capacities. Even though they control the pricing within China by a licensing mechanism, whereby for any particular product, they don't give license to more than 3 manufacturers for a product to sales within China. So through such mechanisms, they control the pricing within China. And maybe then they are free to sell everywhere across the world. And therefore, they are able to dump the products at a low pricing in India.
Got it. And sir, only 5 to 6 major manufacturers control this market. So anyone going under or anyone going bankrupt or closing their capacity should be a trigger for us. Is it a fair assumption?
No, I would put it this way. The COVID has taught a lesson to most of the countries that there has to be alternative supply chains, especially in the matter of safety, drug safety. So I think most of the countries are looking for alternative source. Probably we are the only company outside China to manufacture end-to-end from base raw material Phytostrol, these products. So I would say, instead of thinking that way, we would take it in a positive manner that the world is looking at alternative. We are talking to companies in US and Japan. All of them are eager to tie up with us, provided we are able to fulfill their regulatory requirements. There are opportunities out there. In China, of course, out of these four or five companies, two or three are all government-owned companies or largely government-backed companies. So chances of their failure or going down are very less.
Got it. Sir, that was from me. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ishan Thakkar from Fourth Capital Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So for the full year, we did 8 crore of LPMC sales, right? So how much came from the domestic market and how much from the export?
Yeah, out of 8 crore of HPMC sales, we got about 3 crore from US market, and that too, it was only somewhere around till July of last year. Post-July, the sales abruptly stopped. So that is why we our forecast also went wrong.
Okay, okay, got it. And we are currently behind our FY26 target of utilizing 25% of the API manufacturing capacity and around 90 crore of sales. So what challenges are we facing currently, and why were we unable to capture domestic demand during the initial phase itself, especially when there was a clear opportunity for import substitution?
As I just mentioned to the previous question, that domestic market is a highly price-sensitive market. We decided in the Q1 of last year itself to focus, despite we got the clarity that there was a big gap in our yield level where we could have made a reasonable margin or a survival margin. So we decided to focus on domestic marketing with the intermediate from China. But then the margins were so thin and the prices are so volatile that we also took some time to understand that. A couple of quarters went by. And therefore, when we started somewhere in December, so the results, what clearly we got to the sales of last year, were practically for only 4 months of sales.
Okay. Okay. And one more question I have. During the last call, you mentioned that the API division could achieve a turnover of 240 crore. So however, based on the current installed capacity and prevailing realization, API sales appear unlikely to exceed around 120 crore. So could you please elaborate on the assumptions behind the 240 to 50 crore revenue target and explain how management expects to bridge this gap?
Yeah, 250 crore target is still there in front of us. We probably need about 2 or 3 years. Only thing is some capacity on the technical manufacturing side is available. On the clean room, that is the final finished API side, probably we need to add up a few more clean rooms for which basic infra has been made. Only thing is we need to finish them and do that. I think achieving a target of 250 crore is achievable from this plant with additional investment to make ready the balancing some more clean rooms.
Okay, so how much additional expense to be required?
I can think about 25 to 30 crores of expenses could be required to put up these two clean rooms.
Okay, okay. Okay, fine. I will join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Sanchita Sood from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one thing. Can we get an idea of what our debt levels would look like in FY27 and FY28?
Saji, you would answer?
Your debt level will be remain and consolidated, which is around 100 to 110 crore. And in the FY27 and FY28, maybe further will be same level. Some reduction will be there, or some further additional capex funding will be required. So I see around 100 to 110 crore total debt on the consolidated basis.
But annual repayments are in the range of about 10 to 12 crores. And in case required over 2 years, if we borrow additionally 20 crores, the total debt will remain around 110 crores.
Okay, got it. That's all for mine. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aniket, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah.
Sir, I just wanted to ask, like, what utilization level for the API business would be EBITDA break-even?
So EBITDA here is more than the plant utilization, as I mentioned, is to towards the type of customers to whom we are catering. Plant utilization at this point of time is roughly around 25 to 30%, and even at the current customer base, if I use 100% of capacity, probably we may not break even. So ultimately, it boils down to the fact that we get on to a better quality of customers or better market geographies, like we get on to after WHO GMP to customers who supply to regulated markets like Cipla, Lupin, Mankind, these kind of companies, or exports to Europe, US, and Japan, then are definitely EBITDA break-even or big EBITDA bottom line will come up.
And for us to explore such markets, do we require some certifications? And do we have it, or it will be gotten in the current year or in future?
Yes, so these are the certifications still in the pipeline and working. Right now, we are now having WHO GMP target to happen in the next quarter, then followed by our CEP filing and inspection under WHO GMP in about Q2 of next year, and USFD about Q3 or Q4 of next year. So once these are achieved, then the markets, the business to those markets can start.
And so regarding the 84 crore API guidance is given, what would be the net EBITDA? Would it be negative or would it be like break even or something like that?
It would be, I would say, negligible and maybe low single digit.
And for the form of arrangement, if I got it right, is it a combination of contract manufacturing plus revenue sharing minus the tech transfer?
Yeah, so it's a combination of contract manufacturing with revenue sharing. That's the type of contract. Tech transfer only to the extent of operational. So their team will be there on the site. All the proprietary information which will be under their control, like the strains and all that, processes and all that. So as far as we are concerned, we will have revenue share in most of the products.
And so suppose if their ability to scale up goes up, do we have fungible space to provide them so that they can manufacture more?
Yes, why not? Probably, maybe not in this particular site, but if there is a, because Firmbox is a forward-looking company, is an asset-light platform where they don't intend to own any facility of their own. But they have a lot of contacts and a lot of technologies. Their R&D is the major strength. They have put up a large R&D facility in Bangalore. So as per my understanding, they may be intending us to manufacture more. So maybe we can add on more fermentation capacity going forward.
And would this require some capex, or the existing facility would be okay with handling this type of revenue or capacity production they require?
No. As far as the 250 crore target that we have given ourselves for next 2 to 3 years in FY29, so definitely it doesn't require any new facility to be set up. But if the firm box feels that they need us to add on more capacity on fermentation, we will be more than willing to do that going forward. Before that, there would be a separate facility to be created, new capex to be done.
And so what's the annual fixed cost burden from the fermentation facility?
Could you repeat your question, please?
What's the annual fixed cost burden from the API facility?
annual fixed cost is in the range of, I think, about 1 crore a month. 1.25 crore, about roughly around 15 crores per annum.
And so, lastly, I just wanted to ask, what's the capacity for the HPNC line versus the traditional gelatin capsule?
So, HPNC capsules, one line capacity is 750 million capsules per annum, whereas gelatin capsules line capacity is about 1.8 billion capsules per annum.
Okay, and so,
We have two lines of HPMs. So, two lines of HPMs makes it about 1.5 billion capsules capacity. Yeah.
And,
yes,
what kind of a utilization we are looking for this year?
This year with the 1 crore, so out of the 1.5 billion, we have assumed utilization. We have assumed a very conservative, if I go for the utilization of capacity, it will be less than 50%.
But this
has been assumed based on subject to develop, because of the U.S. uncertainties, we have assumed like that. Whereas our fact is that gelatin capsules have been running at more than 93% capacity for last many years.
And so what time, in the presentation it was mentioned that some U.S. customer approvals are pending. So what kind of approvals are pending for the HPMC line?
These are basically machine suitability approvals. Like we have to, our new machine HPMC came and got installed in March. Now it is under validation stage and we have sent out capsules to various customers in US, and after their machine trial suitability, they do their stability testing at their end, which takes about 2 to 3 months, and this is what we are waiting for.
Thanks for answering my questions, and I hope good luck for the FY27.
Thank you, Aniket.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from line of Arya Gavkar from Fort Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my questions. I wanted to know if you can give us the data for FY26 import data for dexamethasone, betamethasone, and prednisolone, both in value terms and volume terms, which you used to give in the presentation.
I think the exact FY26 data I have not got, because in last quarter data still not got published. I believe now Government of India has blocked all publication of export data. Okay. So I have data till about 9 months, till December. And as per this, the dexamethasone, betamethasone, the prednisolone, all three are in line with the imports which is happening year after year. Prednisolone is getting imported around 40 metric tons with a value of roughly around average of about $230. Average cost is about $230. Dexamethasone is getting imported in the range of about 30 metric tons with an average price of about $350 per kg. And betamethasone is in the range of about 25 metric tons with an average price of about 580 US dollars per kg.
Okay.
And these import volumes are more or less consistent for last many years.
So I also wanted to know, like, why is it taking so long for the API blend to get a regulatory approval, and when can we expect the, like, can you provide us a timeline when can we expect a regulatory approval for the API plant?
The regulatory approvals are a kind of a process. First, we have to get the validation qualification of all our facility, equipment, processes. Then we have to take the batches, put into stability, 6 months goes away in that. Then you have to file with the local, our local body, Indian Drug Controller. And then they will come and do the validation study and verify all the claims. And then they will give the GMP certificate. Then there will be additional certain more audits which will qualify as for WHO GMP. Now, either we have a choice to go with the same data to US and Europe, but their requirements are much more in detail. They want us to audit our vendors. They want us to validate in very great detail at least 3 or 4 stages of manufacturing before the final API for which we are doing the filing. Suppose I am doing prednisolone as my product, which I need to file the DMF in US, I need to go for at least N-3 stage of last 3 steps of manufacturing. I'll have to do complete detailed validation of all that and put into stability. So that is a much bigger requirement and much more time-consuming and cost-consuming. Each DMF will cost will take at least about 8 to 9 months to prepare, and it will take about 75 lakhs to 1 crore rupee cost to prepare one dossier. So regulatory bodies demand that we have to file such detailed drug master files, and then they review. The review takes time. Say if I have to file my data of 6 months, I'll require 9 months to file. Then they will take about 6 months to review. Then post that, they grant us the number. And then we have to tie up with the customer in US or say in Europe. Once we tie up with the customer in US, he will trigger the audit. Then the USFDA comes in, audits the plant. So therefore, this process is longer and it takes time.
Okay, sir. So I have one more question. Like, how much raw material prices will increase in the API segment? Like, we in the last call you mentioned 25% of the raw material for the API business has been sourced from China. So, what is the update on that? Like, can you give us the update? Like, how much has it been increased?
No, the recent past increases have been basically due to the latest Iran-US war, which has led to petroleum prices going up, causing disruption in supplies, so which has affected petrochemical industry, affected the pharmaceutical API industry also. So some of the products in China market has become short and their prices have gone up. So yes, as you have been reading in the newspaper, the prices of many such APIs have gone up, and government has also given a accepted increase in the formulation of many such drugs.
Okay. I have one more last question from my side. I wanted to know in quarter 2 FY26 call, you mentioned you were in talks with some Chinese consultant to improve your 60 kL yield. So any update, any success on that?
Not really. That did not fructify. We could not get visa for the Chinese consultant to come to India.
Oh, okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Tarun Kumar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Sir, I have one question regarding if you could give us some color on your R&D pipeline. I mean, what kind of new molecules that we are doing?
So, Mr. Tarun, we are not in the business of new molecules. That's a completely different ballgame, and that's a huge cash guzzler. So new molecule is a very long affair. Our R&D pipeline consists of those APIs which are in the public domain, but which are off patent and which we intend to manufacture over coming next couple of years, and then we put them in our R&D pipeline.
Okay, sir. So one more question. Like in FY22 and 23, our capital's margins are really high. Is there in the mid to near term, like 2 to 3 years, do we see our EBITDA margin going up?
During 21 to 23, there was a after effect of COVID, I would say, during...
Sorry to interrupt, Tarun. Can you mute your line from your side, please?
Okay.
Yeah, so during initial phase of COVID, there was a huge disruption in the supply chain. So most of the pharma industry wanted to keep their supply chain secured, so they stocked a lot of material, so which led to kind of a price surge in the capsule prices like any other API also. So that period saw us our the margins boost up almost to the level of 20, 21, 22%. But post that, from 23 end, that's Q1 of FY24 onwards, when this industry started descaling and kind of a supply chain slowed down, margins were gradually coming down. So they had come down to as low as 11%. Now we are around 12-13%. So probably as our volume of sales of HPMC grows up, our more higher capacity machines are added in future, probably, as and when we do it, our margins are definitely going to go up. I hope I have answered your question.
Yes, yes. One more question. Could you please quantify what kind of incremental margins that we could, in mid to near term, we could get? Like 200 basis points or...
I think if our HPMC capsules, between HPMC and gelatin, there is definitely a about 5% gap delta. HPMC gives around EBITDA margin of 18%, whereas gelatin is in the range of 12-13%. And as our volume of HPMC grows up, definitely our weighted average EBITDA margin will grow. So we could expect, if our HPMC full capacity is utilized, we should do a top-line volume of at least about 1.5 billion, about 45 crores from HPMC capsules, and that should give it at least a 200 basis point increase in EBITDA margin.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. That's from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Praveen Sharma, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, hi Sunilji.
Hi.
My first question is, last May there was a circular from USTR as to imposing, anti-dumping duty on HPMC capsules.
Yes.
So after July, what happened is, apart from the 50% additional tariff of Trump, we could not sell much of HPMC there, apart from that 50%. And how is the situation right now? Is that tariff still applicable? And if we were not supplying, where were the U.S. customers buying from?
Yeah. So you are very right that last May there was a USTR notification. One of the courts had approved this anti-dumping duty, which was, in fact, favoring the Indians. There was a duty of around 18% on the Indian products, whereas it was imposed as high as 88% on certain Chinese companies, which were the major sellers there. What had happened was, apart from these anti-dumping duties, this Trump-specific duty of, India-specific duty of 50%. So that was the one which completely stopped our business. So this kind of high tariff, most of these importers were not able to sustain. And whatever the Chinese could foresee because of the anti-dumping duty, they had dumped their material to a large extent, and Chinese companies were able to circumvent some of these anti-dumping duties by routing it through some third countries like Colombia and all that. So that made us, the Chinese supplies were going on for some more time, whereas Indian supplies completely stopped. Even the large Indian companies like ACG Group or Health Caps, their supplies had completely slowed down. So as of now also, what our judgment is that the Nutra business in U.S. has got severely impacted because of various kinds of duties on India and China. Most of the ingredients were coming from these two countries, and now the industry is in a little very slow position, and probably next 3 to 4 months we expect that things could be better as the U.S. economy comes out of slumber, and the duty, there is a clarity that the rate of duty is around 10%. Probably in about 3 to 4 months, 6 months, we could see improvement in growth exports to the U.S.
But I thought that U.S. economy is doing very well. With all these, AI boosts and all, people will be requiring more nutraceuticals.
Yeah, but fortunately, Nutra industry is more of a choice business, not an essential business. So the sales of Nutra industry has gone down there, and inflation is pretty high in US. So therefore, it is one of the first products to get affected, is what our understanding is. So there the industry, whoever contact points there in US, they are saying that their businesses are very slow.
People have stopped eating vitamins.
Okay. Yes.
Now, wasn't it possible for us to reroute the material from third country? Because you are saying Chinese are able to do that.
No, that was kind of a thing. We didn't want to do that. We did not attempt doing that. Yeah.
But I heard that one Chinese company in ACG was planning to put up a plant there in US.
Yes, both of them had announced. Yes. Both of that then announced $200 million investment. ACG had announced $100 million investment. All of them are now in the cold. They are in the cold shelf.
So our 25 crore, which we see as guidance for this year for HPMC, the majority will be export to US or it will be for domestic consumption?
No, we have anticipated a very low margin, low revenue from US, that too in the last quarter or so, 4 months. Our major sales are to other countries like Mexico, to Brazil and other countries. We intend to start Europe business this year. We have recently got some clearances of on the veterinary control side, the registration of gelatin capsules there. Of course, for the HPMC capsule, also there is an opportunity now that we have got organic certification there. So probably are exposed to Europe should start in the current year.
And my last question is on the API side, with this Indian GMP certification followed by WHO GMP certification, which appears to be, relatively easy and fast. Not relatively, but it's a relatively easy. Because in US, what you told and described seems a distinct possibility. It's a, I don't know how many years will it take. So based on these two registrations, how much of the revenue can we generate? How much can we sell? How much revenue can we generate? And what kind of margins after these two certifications can be realistically looked at?
So the Indian GMP certificate is a basic requirement for any factory under the current guidelines in India. So without Indian GMP, that is called any new facility requires that GMP. Now, in addition to that GMP, we have to do the product stability and produce the data. The Central Drug Control Authorities come and audit, and they provide WHO GMP. So this kind of data is required by certain companies, which are like middle to large corporate Indian pharma companies, which they sell in Indian market their branded products or export to ROW market. So these are companies like, I would say, not top of the notch companies like top 100 or top 50 companies whose major businesses are coming from Europe, US. But say for company like Cipla, they would say they would prefer to buy a WHO GMP certified product from myself, my company, if it is meant for Indian market. But suppose same Cipla has to sell the product in US, they would want us to give the product with a US certification. That product will be different. That dossier will be different. DMF will be different. So our judgment is that with this Indian GMP and WHO GMP, yes, in the current year, we are expecting WHO GMP certificate to come in Q2. Hopefully, we can onboard some of these companies with some products and our margins should improve. So at this point of time, since we are not able to make a clear estimate of how much business it would generate, we have made the forecast based on the based of sales to purely generic customers.
But of course, after these two certifications, the top line will improve and margins will also improve, right?
Top line to some extent and margins to some more extent. I would say margins could be improving to higher single digits.
Okay, let me ask last question now. That you said that a lot of this steroidal APIs which are imported from China by Indian companies, Indian consumption is around 16 metric ton or something, and the rest you feel that it goes out of India in form of finished dosages, correct?
Yeah.
So does it go to ROW exports, or does it go to US and Europe, or, you know, regulated world? And if so, that this means that Chinese facilities are FDA approved, correct?
Yes. So to answer your question, the data while I was speaking, there is a broad macro level data which showed that total steroidal export to India from China was around 40% of their production in China. Okay. Whereas on a thumb rule basis, that Indian population is 16% of the world, assuming they consume the similar level of consumption. We said about half of it is going for domestic consumption, half of it is going for exports. Now, your next question was that are these products being sold to US market? Yes. Most of the companies have these large brands either being sold by themselves under generic, or they do manufacture on behalf of certain large MNC corporates. Like, for example, Strides does a product for Pfizer, who is the innovator of these drugs, and product like prednisolone. Strides manufacture and exports this drug almost. They buy 8 metric tons of prednisolone. They import and supply to US, to Pfizer alone. Similarly, I would say Dr. Reddy's, they have a product called abiraterone acetate. It's a prostate cancer drug. So this, they are right now manufacturing in Mexico. Now they intend to start in India. They are bringing the basic intermediate to India, or N-1 to India. They manufacture the API in India and they export to Mexico. Ultimately, it is meant for the innovator or the patent holder in US. So there are large volume molecules which are getting manufactured in India and going to for these regulated markets.
Actually, I was trying to understand, once we get these two, WHO and Indian GMP, then, you know, can we, you know, what kind of market we can address? What is the total addressable market?
So WHO GMP would enable us to get into some of ROW markets, like African markets, some of the markets in Southeast Asia.
South America?
Or maybe some in Central America. Whereas certain countries, like large countries like Brazil, want their own certification, ENVISA. Mexico requires COFEPERIS, their own certification. Europe requires their own certification in form of EU GMP or CEP. And US requires USFD. Japan requires their own certification. Whereas we can route it through Korea. That is our attempt right now. We are working on that. So the WHO GMP would enable us to supply to, as I told you, companies like Cipla or Lupin for their Indian market supplies. Cipla will not buy.
Which itself will be big market, isn't it?
Which will be for domestic market mainly. But the prices will be better than what prices I get for the same product by selling it to another Indian generic company.
The objective right now is to go nearer to 240 crore sales, you know, whatever, from the 80 to 240, fill that gap with, you know, whatever the margin you can get. So that the API division doesn't, you know, make the capital profit, eat it away and, you know, make it bleed.
Now, our aim is to go up the ladder on the regulatory side. Definitely that will improve the bottom line margins, number one, utilize maximum capacity and increase our percentage of share to exports, and also utilize the firm box contact to maximize the utilization of fermentation plant. So these things will definitely help us to control the cash drain that we are experiencing at this point of time.
Only thing is, if we can, you know, compress that timeline from 4 years to, say, 1.5 years. Because already many years have...
Yeah, so our timeline at this point of time is not 4 years. It is roughly around 24 months.
Including US and Europe?
Yes, yeah. US FDA is in 24 months.
Okay, sir. All the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as our last question. I'll now hand the conference over to Mr. Sunil Mundra for closing comments.
Thanks, Peter. Thank you, all for joining us today and for your continued trust in Natural Capsules. We remain committed to executing our strategy and delivering value in the years to come. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of the IL advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.